Let's continue reading the second half of Proverbs chapter 20, beginning with verse 16, where we have more wise advice for everyday living contained in the Proverbs. Now, for our background notes for this second half of Proverbs chapter 20, let's consider verse 26. A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings a threshing wheel over them. Now, to understand the meaning of this proverb, we need to know about the ancient process of threshing grain and the ancient process of winnowing grain. In threshing, a heavy sledge with spikes or sharp rims of wheels was pulled over the harvested grain to separate the grain from the stalks and separate the seeds from the seed coverings, which was the chaff. In winnowing, which followed threshing, the good grain, along with the chaff, was thrown into the air in an area where the wind could blow the chaff away and leave the good grain in a pile on the threshing floor, which was usually a good-sized flat rock. The point of this proverb is not that the king should literally drive a threshing sledge over the wicked. No, the point of this proverb is that a wise king will use strong and tough measures to clean out wickedness from his kingdom in order to maintain law and order and justice. You can't just give a slap on the wrist or a short prison term to the wicked. The wicked must be separated and removed from their position of being able to tear down society. Now, this proverb certainly has prophetic implications as well, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus, as the wisest king ever, is going to return to this earth and establish his glorious kingdom of righteousness. Revelation chapter 19, verse 15 says that he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Wickedness will not be tolerated in his kingdom of righteousness. That brings us now to our doctrinal point once again for the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 16. Take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. The point here in this proverb is that if you're involved in any way, in any financial situation where the borrower could default and you could be left holding the bag, then make sure you receive plenty of collateral, especially if you don't know the borrower or if there is any questions about the moral character of the borrower. Verse 17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Did you ever eat a sandwich on the beach where some grains of sand have gotten on the bread? It doesn't matter how good the sandwich is. You are miserable just thinking about eating it. That may be the thought here in this proverb. At first, a dishonest gain is like delightful food, but not too long after, it is like eating a meal with sand or small pebbles in your mouth. And this refers to more than just dishonest gain in the area of money. What about shading the truth for your own advancement? Verse 18. Now, we'll come back to verse 18 for our practical application. Verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. The last line of this proverb in Hebrew is literally, do not associate with one who is simple in his lips. That's why we have the different translations of talks too much, or babbles, or flatters with his lips, or gossips. You can be sure that someone who talks too much about others to you will also talk too much about you to others. So what's the solution? Stay away from folks who talk too much. Verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. The lamp here is obviously used as a symbol for life. Here again, we have the general truth that a divine principle for long life is honoring one's parents, and a divine principle for a shortened life or dying a premature death is dishonoring one's parents. A general truth. Verse 21. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. The implication in this proverb is that the sudden inheritance was gained illegally or dishonestly, like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, or like the one in Proverbs 19, verse 26, who wrongfully drives his father and mother away. There is certainly no blessing here. But even when a person receives a sudden inheritance honestly, it is a general truth that most folks receiving a sudden windfall don't spend and invest the money wisely, and in some cases squander the money. And as a result, there is no blessing for anyone. So remember to give your money to growing Christian ministries, and more we could say. Verse 22, do not say, I will recompense or repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Now, this proverb is not telling governments not to deal with evil and lawbreakers. No, this proverb is in the context of evil directed against us personally by other people. We are not to take revenge, but wait for the Lord to vindicate us. Notice that we do not even have to pray for the Lord's vengeance to fall. We just are to wait for the Lord. And the implication is that the Lord does not always judge immediately. Wait for the Lord. The New Testament certainly backs up this truth of leaving vengeance in the Lord's hands. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. From Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19. Verse 23. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read that proverb recently? Yes. Look back at verse 10 of this same chapter. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. And back in Proverbs 11, verse 1, we read, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Remember, changing the standard weights for the balance scale was a way to cheat in business. So why do the Proverbs make a big deal of this anyway? Because it is a big deal as far as God is concerned. In fact, to cheat in business dealings is not only wrong, it is an abomination before the Lord. Verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? The main point of this proverb is that God's control of our lives goes beyond our finite comprehension. We may think we are calling all the shots, but it is God who works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. God works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, this truth, of course, does not excuse us or relieve us of making responsible decisions and looking to the Lord for his guidance in the steps we take. Verse 25, it is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterward to reconsider his vows. Did you ever promise the Lord something in an emotional moment, but then renege on your promise? Lord, I promise you that I will spend 1 hour every day studying your word. Lord, I promise that I will give you a double tithe of my income starting with my next paycheck. Some people have done that and then reneged. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 says, better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Ecclesiastes 5, 5. Now notice how this proverb, Proverbs 20, verse 25, not only indicates that rash vows are wrong, but they will entangle you like a snare when you realize the difficulty of making good on those vows. Always think it through before you make promises. Verse 27, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The Bible teaches that God created us with bodies, souls, and spirits. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Associated with our spirits is our God consciousness and our moral consciousness. We see in this proverb that the Lord by His Spirit operates on our spirit and uses our conscience as a lamp to seek out all the hidden areas of our lives to reveal where we need to clean house. And the closer we walk with the Lord, the brighter the lamp shines. Verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. Why is it so hard for rulers to learn the truth of this proverb? You don't gain respect and loyalty and stability as a leader through tyranny and selfish government, but through mercy and truth and righteousness. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach or disgrace to any people. Verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Men here this morning, which category are you in? Both categories are essential and needed in the church today. The strength of the younger believers is needed for service, and the wisdom and the experience of the older believers is needed for counsel. Verse 30, blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. It's a general truth that physical punishment will restrain evil. This is true in a parent's proper discipline of a child, as well as in God's discipline of believers. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, now no chastening or discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Ephesians chapter 12, verse 11. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us now to our practical application for this second half of Proverbs chapter 20. Prepare and make plans for spiritual warfare. Prepare and make plans for spiritual warfare. Let's go back to verse 18 for our practical application. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Now, in the context, of course, this proverb is talking about literal warfare. A nation should not go to war without first counting the cost, and without first planning out the strategy, and without first making adequate military preparations. But the same is true in application for spiritual warfare. Read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, which says, put on the whole armor of God. Now let me ask you, have we put on the whole armor of God in preparation for spiritual warfare? Have we confessed and forsaken our known sins? Have we separated from this world's values? Do we pray regularly and effectively? Prepare and make plans for spiritual warfare.